What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi.
Hi.
This is a bonus episode.
This is a bonus episode of Ethnically Ambiguous, and today we have a very special guest.
Her name is Ana Salinas.
Ana Salinas.
Hello.
She's here.
OMG, where did you come from?
We talk about a lot of stuff, including how she got into making comics and her interest in journalism before that.
And bad comics by Ana.
Yeah. Also, she's Aquaman.
Yeah. Listen up.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Welcome. Welcome to a bonus episode. Today we have a very special guest, one that I've been wanting to have on the show for a minute.
Aww. And one that I said, no way.
I've been fighting to get her on this whole time. I think
physically.
I think Ana doesn't like that she's also had this has the same name as her.
Please
on paper.
Disregard my 4 black eyes.
Yeah. I told you it's not worth fighting. It's really not.
Well, the voice you're hearing is Ana Salinas.
Hey. Yay. I'm so excited to be on, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for agreeing to the show.
Against my will. Just kidding. I'm not going to carry this bit on. I did not want her on, but I didn't want her on.
We do have the same name.
Yeah, we
and
do.
I understand. You don't want other people with your name to exist.
I mean, I'm really the one at the disadvantage here. Like, I'm looking, I'm right in the center of Ana and Ana. And,
quite
and,
literally.
And I am terrified?
You should be.
You were violent.
I'm shaking. I am shaking with rage. Just being in the same room. Oh, just two ends. Why?
Ana and Ana are known to be aggressively violent.
Is that true?
Wait to find out.
Yeah. Anna Kournikovic.
There you go. Classic
violent
Anna.
Famously violent.
Anna Winter.
Famously violent as well. She's like psychologically violent.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was originally an Anna too.
What do you mean originally?
I was born an Anna, but everyone calls me Anna.
But you also introduced yourself as Anna.
Because I don't remember. What my name is 90% of the time. But like I said, if you say the name Anna at me enough, I will respond to Anna. It's just how my life has gone.
I totally get it. Yeah. I never made a conscious choice to be Anna.
Interesting.
But I suppose my parents would say Anna. And in preschool, I must have been like, yeah, that's my name. And then it became Anna. You know?
Interesting.
As like the teacher was like, okay, you're Anna.
But you're really Anna.
Anna.
Yeah.
But where are your parents from?
My dad is Cuban and my mom is Swedish.
Whoa.
Fresh Cuban, off the boat.
Perfect. What do you think of cigars? I'm just kidding. What if that's really horrible?
Love them. Love them.
I only know about two things: cigars and plantains.
Hey, that's I get big fan of both. Mix in some communism, yeah. And that's my dad. In
cool.
A
so is your father Fidel Castro?
I wish.
Then you would be Justin Trudeau's brother. JK, sorry to my conspiracy theorists.
Oh my God! But you, as everyone knows, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Famously, the daughter of Fidel Castro.
Dude, you know what I believe?
Right, right.
That's a thing people Google.
I know.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I was looking her up, and one of the top suggested search was, is Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez related to Fidel Castro?
Because she's so socialist. They're like, well, she's got to somehow be Cuban.
Look at the name.
I just saw on Twitter that
Tommy Lauren.
Tommy Lauren. Just
you didn't remember how to pronounce
yeah,
it.
Thank you.
She deserves it.
I just read that she said that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is successful on Twitter, but not in real life. And then someone quoted that tweet and posted, "She's a congresswoman at 29."
Like, yeah, that's an insane take.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
She's very successful.
She
love
really
her.
Is, yeah.
She seems like her career is blossoming. You're all terrified of her.
Yeah.
I know. I love her. I'm afraid of the way we have put her on a pedestal and idealize her because I feel like every young woman who gets this attention and is beloved, maybe except for Beyonce, ends up says one thing that doesn't go over well and then is canceled.
And then gets a tattoo in Japanese, it doesn't mean anything.
Ugh, and you know I love Ariana Grande. So when that happened, I was like, no, not this one thing.
Like, do you actually love Ariana Grande?
No.
I just can't tell with you. I don't know you that well.
Look, in fact, I am on the train of I think she is going too far the appropriation train.
She's been doing this for a while.
You should never get a tattoo on the inside of your hand either.
No, but not like... Guys, she's
pretending to be Latina.
Yeah. She's brown facing you guys.
Yes,
she's blackfishing and brown facing. She's doing both of these things.
Yes.
Blackfishing?
Blackfishing is this
is that when you wear black term?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. I've
very controversial.
I've blackfished before. But like it's this thing where you start either like talking like more like trying to appropriate
black
culture. Yeah, Ebonics and like if you look at a video of when she was first like in the scene and now she's completely changed the way she talks.
Well, she was
her
a
skin is
actor.
Like five shades darker.
Yes. And women have been canceled, not actually canceled cuz like they're still pretty followed, but there have been influencers who have been called out on social media for bronzing and like the putting in textured hair.
Look at that photo.
Exactly.
She's just
and
a
you
white
look
girl.
At that, I mean, that's not even as far as she is. I bet that photo is a few years ago.
Yeah.
Her in the video for Seven Rings is real on that line.
Yeah, she's tans, I think, aggressively.
I think it's a spray tan.
Really?
I think it's...
Is that easier to maintain than a real tan? I don't know anything about tanning.
I think, as pale as she is, I think it's an aggressive spray tan, and her aesthetic, the way she talks...
The way she talks is really problematic.
It's changed.
Because the way, like, the phrases she uses or, like, the way she says them, it's like she's, like, trying to be, like, I'm from the hood. I'm just like you.
That
really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel uncomfortable.
I'm so uncomfortable.
Imitating the way she talks.
Yeah.
Because that would be problematic.
Look, remember Iggy Azalea? She got canceled for a moment, right?
Like, she did. Look, she was terrible.
She, like, would, when she would rap, she'd, like, try to sound like a black person, essentially.
She did. She 100% did. I wonder, though, and I was like, yeah, she's canceled. Unfortunately, I feel like she still has a following.
She does.
They all have followings.
She definitely does.
But super fans are super fans.
I feel like at this point, I hate to admit this, and I don't want it to be true, but just like the Kardashians, I think Ariana Grande is, like, untouchable.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, the Kardashians can, they also, like, I feel like in a lot of Kim Kardashian's pictures, like, she makes herself darker.
Oh, yeah.
Almost, like, Beyonce-esque. Like, she tries to imitate her.
Kylie is like a different race now. Like, yeah. It's not even like, I can't even, I don't even understand what that person is. I mean, a different person. She's a different person.
Everything is.
But they're untouchable. They can be criticized, but they're truly untouchable.
Yeah.
And I think Ariana Grande is on that level.
I think so.
That's
too.
The power of Instagram followers.
And I hate
followers,
that. And I hate that.
I think it's very interesting that a lot of people, I was actually Googling this last night, celebrities who lighten their skin, and it's all like dark skinned people. Yeah. Like, Mindy Kaling has lightened her skin. Yeah. Beyonce has lightened her skin. Beyonce Rihanna has done it. Yeah. Nicki Minaj. And it's funny. Well, it's like all these people with darker skin are lightening their skin.
Yeah. You want what you don't have.
There seems to be a perfect medium, which is like kind of like a just a very tan woman. That's what you want to be at. You don't want to be black. You don't want to be white. You just want to be a perfectly tan woman. And everyone is slowly trying to mold into that. And that's why we need to marry into different cultures so we can perfect the fully mixed person aesthetic for everybody. Because I don't know what I'm pushing here.
Well, I mean,
where am I going? It's almost sad
because it's like you want what you don't have, and now people like, I don't know, like unfortunate celebrities like Kylie Jenner or Ariana Grande, they're making the ideal something that they had to also get.
It's trendy to be like a person of color right now.
Yeah.
And as a person of color, I'm going to fucking tell you, it's not great. So you don't just get to be a person of color unless you were raised with all the horrible aspects of being a person of color, like never fitting in and having a unibrow and having like, your parents say you're not allowed to wear tight clothes.
How come Rachel Dolezal, whatever, like she...
Well, Rachel's a friend of mine, so can you just... No, I'm sure. Yeah.
And you know what? Don't worry. I'm a huge fan of her Instagram. I actually am.
Wait, really? I don't know about her Instagram.
I went on a deep dive recently. So one of the things is she's like still doing hair. She's like specifically a black hairstylist.
Okay, let's look that up.
Wait, Rachel Dolezal is a hairstylist?
Yes.
I thought she was like a social worker.
She lost all her jobs.
She decided to go into hairstyling?
Well, she always did because, you know, she did her own hair. She transformed her hair into not her own hair.
She's doing a good job. I was convinced.
You mean she got an afro? Is that what you're trying to say?
She created an afro for herself and braids at one point and locks.
Weird. She's so problematic.
But it's weird because I think she's deleting comments or something because I was on her Instagram and there are no negative comments. And it's like...
Or she's just blocking people like crazy.
She must be blocking like crazy. She has like pictures of like a white young girl who she gave braids to.
No, she's spreading the appropriation.
Yeah, it's really weird. And like there's comments being like, love this. This is great. Well, she lives in Spokane. So it's all these like Spokane people being like, oh, this is so cool.
But it's like,
I think she has surrounded herself with people who don't have the internet or something.
Right.
And don't know what she's doing.
But then, like, it also gets me mad. Like, I don't know why she's getting a pass at that, but, like, Kim Kardashian or Kylie Jenner, like, they get braids, and they're also with black men, so it's like, they almost get a pass, too. They get a pass for, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, and her...
It's very uneven.
Yeah, Kim's children are also Kanye's children, and so, obviously, they have braids, but, like, does that mean you're allowed to have braids, or, like, you're allowed to appropriate this culture? Like,
but they're untouchable.
Yeah, exactly. They are untouchable. Yeah.
I think we have... Oh, yeah. Are you looking at Rachel Dolezal? It's a really... I encourage you at some point when you are feeling weird and...
She is verified. That is
experimental.
So
to look at her Instagram because it's a trip.
I'll do that on a rainy day. Oh, it's raining today. Oh no.
Yeah, it's...
I just saw a very disturbing photo.
It's the girl.
Okay, this is absurd. We have talked for like 12 minutes and we've not even touched on your life. The whole point of you coming on the show was to get to know you, Ana Salinas, and all I know is that your dad is Cuban, your mom is Swedish.
Yes.
How did this mix of this mixed couple meet? How did they meet?
Well, it's a very romantic story. My dad was working on a cruise ship. And my mom was working on the same one. And they had, my dad, let's see, he had been living in Puerto Rico, studying medicine at the University of Puerto Rico. He's Cuban, but grew up in Puerto Rico.
What's the story here?
Left when he was five, went to Puerto Rico. So he had been studying medicine. God, I'm like shady on those details. I think he moved to Miami at some point and then started working on the ship as a ship's doctor. My mom, when she was 18, left an island off the coast of Sweden called Åland, technically belongs to Finland, and started working as a radio operator on ships.
Whoa. Getting a lot of mixed details here.
Yeah, it was a little shady.
Swedish but Finland? Cuban but Puerto Rican?
Right? It's like, which
it's
is it?
Ethnically ambiguous! Exactly. And we're done. We have a crazy bell we ring during times like this.
It's like the Trader
Joe's
gong. Naturally.
Yeah, you ring it.
Yeah.
What do you do with a gong?
Hit it.
It's
there to be rung as an
it's
accent.
It's a gongan.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Continue, please.
So they were working on this ship and fell in love.
Oh.
And
they kiss on the deck of the boat?
They must
have. Titanic style.
So here are some things I'm not super clear about. I'm pretty sure my mom was dating the ship's captain at the time.
Oh, your mom's a player.
Ooh. Yes. And I'm pretty sure. So,
is that how you get on boats?
I'm pretty sure they had to leave.
Oh.
Because I think she cheated. That's my belief.
But she's never admitted to
this. She claims that he had a crush on her and he fired her and they had to stop working on the boat because of that. And I'm very suspicious.
Mm. I would read this romance novel.
Right.
I would.
Oh, they were traveling all over the Caribbean at the time.
I guess they were both so tan.
They
must
have
relax.
Been. I mean,
woo, it's hot in here. Honestly, I'm imagining your parents as like Nicole Kidman and Aquaman's dad and Aquaman.
Oh, 100%.
Jason Momoa?
My dad was a big surfer.
The dad. Yeah.
I've never seen his spoilers.
I mean, it's not spoilers.
He has a dad?
It's
wow.
It's literally just the cast.
Now I can't see it.
Well, who knows? Maybe he also has a mom?
Is it Nicole Kidman?
No, Nicole Kidman is Jason Momoa's mom in this
movie.
Oh,
so you're saying that her dad is like a fish man?
No.
I mean,
Aquaman.
All Cubans?
You're Jason Momoa.
Fishman?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you're Jason Momoa because it was kind of weird in the movie that all the people in Atlantis were just Sweden, like this like white blondies.
Yes. Spoiler alert!
It's not a spoiler! and then his dad is like this fisherman in the lighthouse that is just like a brown man. And so then when you're talking about your Swedish mom and your
that's what
ethnic
it's like.
Dad,
oh, yeah.
I think you're Jason Momoa.
That's what it's like. Well, that is that I am Jason Momoa is how that story continues.
Let us see your hair.
What the people listening don't see is that 5 feet of hair just folded out like
it's
a blanket.
Yeah.
Like a cape.
Like a big Aquaman cape.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
So they
naked?
Is yes, I am. They end up moving to Miami. I want to say in the beginning, but then settled in Sarasota, Florida, which is where I was born. They got married on a boat.
Oh, they love boats.
They love boats. Both from islands. They're
boat
water
people.
People.
Was it Florida? They got married
you
in Florida.
You are Aquaman.
I know, right?
They're boat people.
It. Yeah.
They're water people.
Whoa, yeah.
Wait, what's your astrological sign?
It's not. It's Gemini. I
know. Wait, you're a Gemini?
Yeah.
So is that one. And so is a lot of people in my life that give me trouble.
I'm shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I
am who I am. What if you just turned to me on smoking a cigarette, drinking a martini? I am who I am.
That would be incredible, kind of. I'd be like, how'd you make that so fast?
You see producer Sophie grabbing my cigarette, putting out like, what the fuck are you doing? What the
you
fuck
can't
are
smoke
you doing?
In here.
I told you before.
We all just got coughing.
I just am who I am.
Yeah. But no lie, when someone is like, guess my sign, I would. In the back of my mind, I'm like, please don't be Gemini.
Oh, really? It's a bad one, right?
It's not bad. I just feel like a lot of times I butt heads with them. I don't know what it is. Oh. But Anna's the good one.
It's your smelly butt.
Okay, well, that's
classic
why.
Yeah. Gemini
classic Gemini joke. Every Gemini is the same joke.
You know, the funny thing is I'm actually a Taurus.
You're a cusp.
Go ahead.
But you're a cusp.
Oh.
Moon hadn't changed over yet. Go ahead. Oh. If you go back and look at the dates...
But you told me you were a Gemini before.
I know, because I truly believe I'm a Gemini. But if you go back and look at the moons of that time and the exact schedule of when I was born, because I was born on the 21st,
okay,
the
Anna,
Taurus moon hadn't moved over to Gemini yet.
Okay,
isn't
Anna,
that fascinating?
This is crazy because I thought you were a Taurus for our whole friendship. And then last year, you told me you were a Gemini.
Because
and I felt fooled.
And
in classic Gemini fashion, I felt fooled.
I identify as Gemini because my
but I
whole
didn't
life,
know that until recently.
My whole life, I thought I was a Gemini. At 17, a friend of mine's mom pulled out a book, told me I was a Taurus. I was like, "Bitch, you've ruined my life," because my whole life I've thought I was Gemini. How dare you just tell me now I'm a Taurus?
That's a Gemini thing to say.
Yeah. And now I guess you could say I'm like trans Gemini.
Yeah, I guess you could.
That's a horrible thing.
I'm comfortable with that.
I mean, it's true. Technically, I'm a Taurus, but I identify as a Gemini, and I'm on the cusp.
I feel like astrologers would push back on this hard and say,
I'm sure they
would.
Well,
I feel specifically lied to because when I found out you were a Gemini, I felt
betrayed
and betrayed, especially because people in my life have been Gemini and also dead to me now.
Honey, well, I'll tell you what. My body is mostly water and the moons control water. It's funny, right?
We're all water.
Yeah.
And are we all Aquaman?
Wait, okay, yes. Listen. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a brother and a sister, Emma and Sam. They're both younger than me.
You're the oldest.
I am. I was an only child for 7 years.
Really?
Yeah. So I've been told I have only child qualities.
I was thinking you were an only child, honestly.
Right? Which
is
not a compliment.
No, it's not.
Coming from you, I believe it's a compliment. Coming from Edgar, I believe it's an insult.
That's because he's the middle child.
Okay. To give some context, Anna dates Edgar Montplaisir, who is someone we've also had on the show.
Yeah.
I was not there. Because I'm not a fan. I'm just joking. I don't know. I just don't care.
No,
He was on the show that came out when we were... this is going to come out later, but we recorded... His came out yesterday. His episode came out yesterday. And it did really well. Everyone loved it.
Oh, but boy, did he give us some trauma on Twitter until it came out.
Ooh.
He's just sad boy Edgar.
He lives up to it.
But I was thinking you were an only child only because... I don't know. Either you never talk about your siblings, or it's just like, you seem very independent.
Hide them.
You're like independent.
You fake news them hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I was so much older that I feel in some ways like an only child. Like they were the kids. I was. Mm-hmm. I had to babysit a lot.
Do you think that they were raised differently than you were?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Because my little sister was raised infinitely differently than I was.
I could not have boys over, but then when they got to high school, it was like, open door.
Wait, they're both girls?
No, a boy and a
girl. Oh, a boy.
Girl. So my brother also.
I mean, he could also have that was my, That was
he
my
could
assumptions.
Have been gay.
That was my assumptions.
To my knowledge, I am the gayest of my siblings.
Okay.
Being queer.
Oh, you're queer.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I have a cue.
We just touched hands.
Sorry to interrupt you guys' queer moment. I have a question.
Okay.
What do you think made your parents want to have more kids? Like, why did you think they waited so long?
They didn't wait.
Oh.
It was an accident?
My mom had, I think, two miscarriages.
Oh.
Maybe one for certain.
I see.
That was a little further along. My mom was, so radio operating stopped being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which really stuck with her because I was studying journalism in college and she was like, don't be like me.
Aww.
I know what it's like to see your career
disappear.
Yeah, go extinct.
Wait, why is radio operating not a thing anymore? Don't they still have to?
They have like digital stuff.
Yeah. They probably don't need someone to man it.
Yeah, it was like the beep, beep, beep. She was a beep, beep, beep person.
Okay, I was imagining something else. What radio? Like just like being like, hey, all right, doctor's ready, bring it on in.
No, she was sending messages in Morse code.
Oh, so like,
very outdated.
Do you know Morse code?
No, she does.
I thought that maybe she like inherited
your mom was
knowledge.
Like,
no.
All right, you know it now.
No, she taught me Swedish, but no Morse code.
Well, what a drag.
I know. I wish.
Let's take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Oh, in your water. Take a swig of water. Yeah. I interrupted you as you were going to have a swing of water.
Does your mouth feel dry?
Not anymore.
Mm, yummy. Mm-hmm.
So before the break, you said you know Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Cuban?
Do I know Spanish?
Spanish. I'm... garbage?
Do you know Cuba?
Wait, can we delete that? Can our listeners not know that I'm actually just made of garbage?
It must stay.
No, because remember when I asked, "What do you speak in? What do you speak in Ukraine?" And Sophia was like, "Ukrainian," and I was like, "That's funny."
If someone had said you speak
Spanish, I know it's Spanish. I'm just a fucking dummy.
No, but I mean, it's a little different. It's not always the same. Like different places have different dialects.
Can we please cut it?
No, Shireen, everyone needs to know you make mistakes.
We're not perfect. I always have the one to make mistakes.
Asking if you speak Cuban is so okay.
Yeah.
Had you said, do you speak Mexican, that would have been funny.
No, bitch. I said I was from
Cuba. But isn't it the same mistake? It's the same mistake.
Yeah, but it's funnier when people say, Cuban do you speak Mexican?
Could be a language just like people call Portuguese, but it is almost even more morphed version of
I'm digging myself Spanish into a further hole. Maybe I'm digging myself into a further hole, but I was thinking like Jamaican is a language.
Yeah.
And I was thinking.
That's not crazy.
Right.
I do speak some Spanish. My Spanish is worse than my Swedish, but it's okay. I feel weird, like I have lost jobs, writing jobs, because my Spanish wasn't good enough. Oh. So I feel weird being like, well, I'm a fucking pro, but it's okay. My goal growing up was always to speak those three languages and speak them well. And mm-hmm. I think I'm trying to be better about them.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but I think that's maybe you can relate. It's like I feel like being a mix – I always felt like I want to master all mm-hmm. the cultures.
Oh, no. I think if I had a superpower, it would be to be fluent in every language. It's not to fly. It's not to have double or like x-ray vision. I want to just be able to be like a Google translator and know everything.
Yeah.
I want to be better at like Azeri Turkish. I want to be, I can kind of get it, but if they speak way too fast, like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Like, Farsi, I'm fine. Honestly, half the time when people are speaking Farsi to me, I'm not even listening. I don't even care. But that's just my parents. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. But I want to be able to, like, when I'm in, like, Iran, in, like, northern Iran, to be able to, like, speak Azeri Turkish and not be clearly the more Fars-influenced person.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of nuance in language that... speaking other languages, you see and don't take lightly. Like, I know a lot of people whose Spanish is not good, but, like, they studied it in college. And they're I'm fluent in Spanish. It's like, no.
One of my friends literally has a degree in Spanish, studied his whole life, and he is bad.
And he's like, I can speak Mexican. Yeah. Like, oh, cool, dude.
Fuck!
That's
crazy, though.
Yeah. It's such a thing.
You're trilingual.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. What do you do for the people that don't know you, we're introducing you to our listeners. What do you do? You study journalism. What did you do after that?
So I always wanted to work in politics in school. And I went to Georgetown and was
I
know, same place as Jack O'Ryan. And
Bradley Cooper.
Okay. Oh, Hell yeah. That's our most notable love.
I don't understand the appeal. I don't want to get into this,
that
but I don't
understand. Kelly Warbach.
No, Kelly Warbach, no idea who
that is. Dated Leonardo DiCaprio briefly, also starred in Baywatch, the movie.
I love that you know like the highlights of the alumni.
Oh yeah. She was in school the same time as me.
Oh, she's young?
Well,
are you old?
I'm old.
Are you 48?
I'm 48.
Whoa, you look great.
No, Kelly Warbach.
Swedish dude.
Those aren't the good genes.
Do Cubans look young?
No, they both look old. Honestly, oh, okay. It's for aging, not good genes on either side. Yeah, fuck those genes.
Strong stance.
I know. But I went to Georgetown, lived in D.C.,
But you were born and raised mostly in Florida, correct?
Oh, yeah. Born and raised in Florida. And I got there thinking it would be this political center where everyone was like protesting all the time and just full on 1970s Vietnam protest style. And it was not at all. It was very like institutional, very conservative protesters. It was a very small group of people that ever protested. At one point I was in the Cuban club in school and we had a protest in the square that with a big sign that said Cuba is a prison, not a paradise.
Whoa.
People did not like it. We had made a cardboard jail.
Oh, whoa.
Got a lot of artsy. Flack. Yeah. It was very college.
Yeah.
Why didn't people like that?
They just didn't like protests.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like you got mocked.
Post on your Facebook about it.
That was even like a little early face. Like,
yeah.
Thinking about Facebook in college, I'm like, I feel like people didn't use Facebook that much in college. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little.
Oh God, did you go to college during Friendster?
I mean, I guess Facebook was a thing, but it was new.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We hadn't reached its potential. So I really got disenchanted quickly, mm-hmm. and that was during Occupy,
mm-hmm.
And that hit D.C. pretty hard,
mm-hmm.
And I was covering that for the school paper because I wanted to be a political journalist, like my hero, Christiane Amanpour and Anderson Cooper,
Really?
Only because I had read their books.
Is that why you wanted to go into journalism and stuff when you were younger?
Yeah, and you know, I think also I was like, this is something performative.
Mm-hmm.
That I can do that my parents will approve of because mm-hmm. they were very anti-theater,
anything
in entertainment.
Yeah.
So I just gravitated towards that, did speech and debate in high school, which was very politics heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did that too.
Right?
Debate. Ugh.
But then my life changed, guys, when I did drugs.
Whoa.
Ugh. I took one hit of weed. And everything fucking changed.
You're like, have you ever thought about?
Dude, oh, so true though. All of a sudden, it was like in 1 month I had smoked weed, done mushrooms, done acid. And I was like, school doesn't get it, man. I came back feeling changed.
Was that before or after the Cuba prison sign?
Around the same time.
Okay, oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you made that prison in a bout of like shrooms or highness.
It was
like
the saddest protest because like no one cared at all. It was like everyone was like, "What? Why? This isn't relevant, right? What?" Yeah. Just a real failure. But
so what were you? What did the drugs make you feel?
Well, I realized, and I think this was a long time coming. Just the way politics are done in D.C. is the way a company is run. It's not driven by activists. And even the nonprofit sector, because I worked for a few nonprofits, is just very broken. And it's for career nonprofit people who are just slowly moving up a ladder, career like lobbyists. And I was really disenchanted by that. I remember being at a party and talking to this guy who was interning for Newt Gingrich. And he was like singing Newt Gingrich's praises and being like,
ew.
He's going to run, man. He's going to run. Oh, it's going to be so cool. Just wait. He's going to announce. I guess this was before Obama's first term.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was really depressing, but Obama won, and you would think that that would be the moment where it's like, oh, hope.
Yeah.
But instead, it was sort of a moment where I was like, I think I'm done with macro-level politics, because change feels like an illusion, like through policy. I haven't seen it work in any meaningful ways that aren't also broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I got really into poetry, which is really how you change lives, guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Coming from someone that loves poetry, too.
Right? Oh, God, I feel so, shitty now. I just watch TV. But
same.
Right? TV's
Let's just
great,
have a
though.
Poetry sesh, you guys.
Such a different world.
Get out of here, you stoner.
Stoner. Fucking dragon.
I'm the stoner. I just
watch TV
all day.
I'm snapping. Okay.
And then around that time, the recession hit. I was really afraid of not having a job, so I did Teach for America.
Okay.
What year was that?
2012. So recession had sort of
Is that when you graduated?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, affected the people before me.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, we graduated at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
where it was, like, everyone was like, I can't get a job.
Yeah.
And I also very much got swept up in this wave of Teach for America, because it's pretty big at my school. And Wendy Kopp came and spoke, and I somehow...
Who's Wendy Kopp?
The founder of TFA.
Okay.
And as the president of the Cuban club at school, she had, like, invited the presidents of the cultural clubs to a special dinner.
You didn't say that you were the president, but continue.
Yeah, that was a small club. It was like six people. And she had invited us to a small dinner. Little did I know to just con us into joining Teach for America.
Oh.
But at the time, like, she just, it worked. Talking to the head of the thing, being like, this is it. This is how you do it. Do change. I was so into it, all of a sudden, sort of forgot that I don't know, was lost and wanted a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up getting placed in L.A., which is sort of why I went, because I
wanted
to live in L.A.
That's crazy. It's rare that people move here for Teach for America and not, like, to follow my dreams.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to work in entertainment, I think, long term, especially after being, like, not politics.
What was your degree eventually in Georgetown?
Well, they didn't offer a journalism degree, so I did government and English.
Mm.
Took journalism. Anyway, all the teachers I ever had and internships I had in journalism were very like, get out. It's dying. Which it wasn't, but it was changing shape. And I think I had all these like old guard journalist teachers who were being pushed out.
Yeah.
Truly, like so many people were being fired at the Sarasota Herald Tribune and they couldn't afford to hire anyone. And they were like, why would you go into this now?
Mm-hmm.
My mom, why would you do it?
Mm.
So I taught art here for 2 years.
Whoa.
I'm curious, what is the Teach for America program like? Like, how do you, what happens when you get into it? Like, do you have to get a credit?
It's wild. So much work. Look, Teach for America, some good, some bad. I think you get in and then you do a training session over a summer.
Okay.
Which is you're taking classes to get an emergency credential, basically.
Okay.
Not a credential. It's like an emergency certification so that you can teach.
Yeah.
And you're also teaching.
Yeah.
Like getting your student teaching hours.
Mm-hmm.
A summer session.
Yeah.
So when we show up day one, depending on where we are, many people are very underprepared.
Yeah.
I happened into a very good school, so I was not allowed to teach when I showed up.
Okay.
I was a apprentice teacher, which meant I shadowed for like the first month, and even then I was in a shadow capacity, or like I had a mentor teacher. It was very guided. They had professional development. But other people, I had friends who were in like Louisiana and Mississippi who were just sort of like shoved into a classroom day one, had no idea what they were doing and had to figure it out. But I worked at a charter school. Mm-hmm. Look, charter schools get a lot of hate. A lot of them are not good. But the charter school I worked at was great. It was great for a lot of reasons. It had its problems. But it was founded by a Latina, Margarita Flores. And it was super community centric. The parents had a huge say. And it sort of, the one bad thing about it was it kind of got by on burning out its young teachers. Because the teachers were just pouring their hearts into this school. Very Latina heavy teaching staff in Huntington Park, which is like a Latino student population for the most part. So it was a cool experience.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you got passionate about art? Or is that, was that before?
I got the job because in my application, I guess, when they're like placing you in schools, I was just talking about poetry. And I was like, oh, I love poetry. That's what I'm all about, poetry. And the school leader saw that and was like, this feels translatable. Mm-hmm. But it is how I got started with my comic, oddly enough.
Tell us a little about your comic.
Yeah. Well, I was teaching art to kindergartners, kindergarten or first grade, and I was telling them that anything is art.
Yeah.
So we start with like self-portraits and abstract art and understanding that any expression, if it comes from a real place, like if it's anger or sadness, can be reflected in the work with colors. And as I was doing that, I kind of taught myself that I was an artist, which is cheesy, but it's true.
Yeah.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And I would do these like stick figures and stuff to sort of model me drawing myself. Like you're teaching them what drawing is basically at that age. And I started drawing like my self-portrait, my adult self-portrait, where I would be like drinking wine and stuff as like a release for hanging out with kids all day, being like, no, I'm still, I'm like 23. I have a life. And then I was like new to Instagram, I feel like, at the time. And I just started posting them and just sort of posting my drawings. And then I broke up with my boyfriend at the time. And I had been feeling very depressed. We'd moved to LA together.
Was he also in Teach for America?
He was not. He worked in finance.
Oh, okay. Ugh.
God rest his. No, that sounds like he's dead. He's just like really rich now.
Was this the cheerleader?
No. He founded a weed soda company.
Whoa.
That did very well.
What's it called?
We don't have to endorse it or like.
No, I just want to know what it is.
Sprig.
Fuck! We could have been rich, Anna! Anna, sorry.
I know.
I panicked and I called you my name.
He was unemployed for a long time. We dated.
He stayed
at my place for a long time. Oh.
They gave us free sprig here once.
Did they really?
Yeah. Wait, does it work?
Honey, have you seen me after a sprig?
Let's cut this out. I don't want to give attention to it.
I mean, sprig is a good company.
I know, but like, it's like her ex. I don't know. Like, so it's just
what?
Like,
is he? That makes him
it's up to you.
In no universe will he listen to this podcast.
It's just it's up, I didn't want to.
But then we'll get free sprig.
Maybe he will. I don't think of.
Are you guys friendly? It.
We are not. Well, we just don't talk. He got engaged. He's moved on.
But wait, so you moved here with him. Mm-hmm. Was that also a reason why you want LA, or was that separate? Like, did you already want to come to LA?
Oh, no, I was coming no matter what. And he moved, I think, for me, but a part of him wanted to be in California. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge source of stress, too, because it was like, don't move just for me.
What did your parents think about coming to California?
They were fine with it. They both left their homes.
Right.
So I think
they understood the drive.
Yeah, they have an attitude of like, of course you're gonna leave.
Mm-hmm.
But so we broke up, and I drew a comic. That wasn't even a comic; it was just a drawing with like stick figure me going through a cloud that's labeled with like sorrow, depression, anxiety, and then I get to the end of the cloud, like out of it, and it says like breakup, or relationship. And then I get out and I say, whew, that was close. And my ex saw it and got so mad. Like, really? I had posted it. It was the first drawing or first comic I ever posted. He got so mad. We, like, didn't talk for a long time after that.
But you had broken up.
We had broken up, but he felt that it was, like saying our relationship was really bad.
Yeah. Oh.
Which it wasn't. He was nice.
Yeah.
I had just felt bad things at the time.
Were you like, you need to separate the art from the artist?
Right? It was sort of my first taste of that. I was like, oh, this is what happens when you share something personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I kept doing it, and I got really into autobiocomics. Like, I mean, this is not autobio, but I got really into Scott Pilgrim and Brian O'Malley's other stuff. And just sort of those, like, all indie comics, like Wilson. So
before that, you weren't really a comic fan, though. I'd always been a
doodler. Yeah. Especially when I started, like, my mom is an artist. She went to art school, actually. After radio operating, she went to art school.
Wow.
After she met my dad, but never did anything with it. So
That's pretty amazing that it was like a late life thing and you made it like a huge part of your life.
I'd always secretly, like, I always doodled in school. I had like a comic strip.
It's too late to life. You're pretty young.
I just was never.
I just mean like as a child. Yes. Like, it wasn't like a passion, like, I want to be an artist. No. I want to draw all the time.
I think I always thought I was bad because my mom is a fine artist. Mm. Oh. So she can draw like realism. And the fact that I never could, like, she tried to teach me and I failed. I was always, and she would even be like, oh, you don't have the natural ability. Mm-hmm. Like, some people have it. You don't have the natural ability. So I was always kind of like, oh, I can't draw. But when I started smoking weed, I got really into doodling. And
same.
Right? Because it's a perfect time to doodle. And I think then that last piece was like going, or being an art teacher, kind of, everyone has to go through that process of like, oh, I can be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
This is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
After I posted that, I kept posting. And I think the hard part about when you start putting art out there is it's really bad.
Yeah.
And you have to just keep doing it. So I just kept doing it, and for a long time didn't have a lot of followers. They were mostly just puns, but just because I was doing it every day. I don't do it every day anymore, but at the time it was pretty much every day.
You built up a good audience, though.
Yeah.
Good numbers.
I was able to like learn how to make a comic on Instagram better and keep trying to push it forward. And then when the Instagram algorithm changed, I think, or I had something go viral, then all of a sudden I started getting a following. And because of Instagram, the coolest thing is now I feel like I've gotten to a point where it's not just food puns, but I'm actually expressing something that is my voice.
Yeah.
And when I'm depressed, it's a release.
I noticed that you've brought like Edgar into a more.
Yeah. He comes in sometimes.
He's the brown drawing.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you white face him.
The dark one. Yeah, I do. He's actually the cheese. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, yeah. You have a cheese thing. I know that.
I do.
But you're lactose intolerant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, I love cheese. Well, that's I eat layered. It every day.
Oh, that is.
Like, I know a lot about Anna Salinas. I just follow her all day. Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
So you're talking about your comics. You want to plug it real quick just so people can follow?
Yeah. Yeah, my comic is called Bad Comics with an X by Anna with two N's. Bad Comics
Go
by
follow
Anna.
Her on Instagram.
Yeah, it's really funny. You're so talented.
Thanks. Who are you guys?
You know, I would call you a fine artist.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm a fine artist. Yeah.
You a fine.
What is your
an artist?
What is your mom thinking about your art now?
What a journey. She likes it.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird. I think she wanted to be an artist all her life and never quite went that route. She's a very artistic person. So I think she probably gets something out of the fact that I'm doing it. Mm. She likes the comic. She's supportive. I think she is concerned that I'm having a nervous breakdown because comics are, they get dark sometimes.
That's the best part. Yeah. You can express yourself in that way so you don't have a nervous breakdown.
She recently texted me. She was like, Anna, are you okay? I can tell something's wrong. What's wrong? Mm-mm. You're not doing okay. Tell me what's wrong. And I was like, Mom, I'm okay. I think you've been reading into my Instagram too much. And she was. And then she was like, well, you haven't been posting Edgar on your Insta story. Did you guys break up?
Oh, my God.
Wait, was your next comic like, when your mom's like too intense?
Intense mom. God.
Yeah, that question. Why haven't you been posting now?
I know. I was like, oh, Mom, you just got to let it go.
Yeah.
But no, it's fine. It's catharsis. And now I've really been pushing my comics towards animation and am sort of in the beginning stages of developing a little animated show.
Nice.
Not to jinx it.
So are you teaching yourself how to do that like with programs on your computer and everything and like animation stuff?
Yeah.
What do you use?
Well, I used to draw by hand, pen and paper, and then pretty much scan it into the computer, manipulate it with Photoshop. I have done a very short animation, pen and paper, which was such a huge hassle. But now I draw on an iPad.
Okay.
So it's a lot easier to like deal with the frames. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I use Photoshop and Premiere, but I'm trying to learn After Effects so I can do more with them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, make them a little cooler.
Do you have a manual? I had to teach myself After Effects with a manual, literally like a book in college, like flipping through like, okay, so I do it. It's hard, but once you get a hand of it.
I've been using videos.
Yeah, YouTube videos are pretty helpful.
It's just such a different language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've done a lot of things the long way. I'm like not tech savvy. So with Photoshop now, just because I've been using it for so long, I feel like I've learned how to do most things. But animating, I think I definitely do things the slow way. Just like doing things wrong and then having to redo them. Like I end up having to redo a lot because I'm teaching myself.
Yeah.
But
But being self-taught is also kind of, I don't know, fun in a way. Because like I've self-taught in Photoshop and Premiere as well. And you just have to watch a lot of YouTube videos.
Yeah, when it's like, oh, how do I do this? Oh, you can just look it up. It's nice. I thought I knew animation, the basic swings of it, but it's like, no, there's so much I don't know. Like, I just now have to keep practicing different kinds of movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, this is a walk. This is a walk moving this way. Mm-hmm. This is moving this way.
Like, the basic things that you thought you could just, like, get like that are actually pretty complicated.
Yeah, and for a long time, I was always like, oh, I just want to get, I want to sell a bad comics show and get someone else to animate it. Like, mm-hmm. I'll do the storyboards. I just want someone else to animate it. And I think what I've learned, as we all do, is you just got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The better you are and the more you learn how to do things yourself, the more likely it is to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like you would also even just be happier being so self-sufficient in a way, like knowing that you can get it out.
That's the coolest thing about animation that can be frustrating about filmmaking. Like, I can do it all. Yeah. I could even do the voices. I know Jamie does her own voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tried and it sounded weird. So in this animation I have that I'm working on now, I brought in people. Edgar plays depression.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. It's so fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if I ever have an Edgar character,
he'll have to play both. Tell him to learn.
Someone
to
else
two
has to.
Can
voices.
I play Edgar?
Yeah.
Can I play Edgar?
Yeah.
That'd
be
fun.
So good.
Be
I'm fun. Edgar. Wow. That was my audition.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm Edgar.
That's how he sounds. Edgar, is that you?
I've never met Edgar.
makes sense.
That's really cool, though. I really admire that. I don't know. Drive to like teach yourself stuff, and because I know how hard it is. But like, so I've seen your recent drawings on Instagram, and those are so some of them are animated, so that's what you're doing. That's just like,
yeah, they're moving towards that way. It's tough because it takes so long just to do one post when you're animating, but I'm kind of trying to use it now just as like a learning tool as I'm working on the bigger project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's cool. I think I never thought I would have a comic that I'm putting this much time into on Instagram, which didn't even exist when I was in college. Right?
Yeah.
I think it didn't. Maybe at the beginning of college.
I think Instagram came about
middle, maybe.
Like the tail end of my college.
Yes.
I think we graduated at the same time, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it was around, I think it came out like 2010. Ish.
Yeah, the tail end of college. Like, cause
I started 2008.
Yeah, same with us.
Yeah, I think it was mid college because it was out for a minute before I started using it.
Yeah, and even then it was like, what's this thing? What am I?
2010. Yeah, it was confirmed. It was 2010.
But that is pretty crazy. Like, what are some of the biggest benefits you've seen from like having a following on Instagram? Especially being in LA and entertainment industry, like I sometimes feel a little annoyed when I go into like jobs or anything, because like the first thing they ask you is like, how many followers do you have? Or like, it's just like, it's like you're judged on this social spectrum of like, do people think you're important?
It is weird. And I don't have, in the scope of influencers, I don't have a ton.
You're a microfluencer.
I'm a microfluencer, but
that's actually more. That's better now.
Oh, is
because
it?
The less I think the micro influencers they like more now because they're like, well, this group of people is actually paying attention versus if you have like a million, then it's just like sometimes people who have a million followers, that person is like their throwaway followers. Just kind of like, yeah, I'll follow them,
that's
but I'm not fully invested.
It is bonkers. There are comics with millions of followers, and I'm like, where's the TV show of this comic? What's the goal? I have seen real benefits because it's, I think, a part of how I got my representation.
As an actor?
Or? It's a writer-performer deal.
Mm. Wow.
I think it has helped me. God.
I feel like we haven't really mentioned that you're also, do a lot of improvising at UCB and have live shows as a performer as well.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it helps sort of with the package. It's sort of like a little calling card of like, this is generally my sense of humor for comedy stuff. And I don't know. It's weird. It's who knows what will happen with it. But the biggest thing is it like forces me to keep making things, which is great because
it holds you accountable.
Led me into this new thing. Like for a while, There is, when I started making comics on, this sounds so lame. When I started making comics on Instagram, there were not a lot. It was like Sarah Scribbles was the big one, who I'm sure you've seen before. Like Adulting and Other Stories or something is her book.
Never seen it. Don't care. Only know about bad comics.
Thank you. She got books, and I think that's where a lot of Instagram comics end up with book deals. Not a lot, but that's sort of where you can end up.
Trying to put a book together?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I'm halfway done with a book, and it's when will it ever go out? But when I started, there weren't a lot. And they tended to be kind of meme-y, kind of like, adulting is so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they blew up. Now there are many comics sort of in my style, very like, you know, stick figure-y, that about depression and anxiety. And when I started doing it, I was like, I had blobs for depression and stuff, and that kind of just happened. Mm-hmm. But now that has kind of become a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are a lot of comics kind of similar to mine. Even like I've seen some comics kind of take my comics where you can never be super sure. But like I had one that like several people messaged me and were like, I think this person took your comic.
Oh, that sucks. Like just kind of created their own version of it.
Just one of my comics like
copied. Was this person a big deal?
No, someone in like Indonesia, maybe with 15,000 followers or something.
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing. And I think for a while that made me feel like what I'm doing isn't special at all. This sucks. Like there's nothing special about being like, I'm depressed. Because there's something almost pop culture-y about that now. Yeah. It's like depression is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
my OCD is, I'm just so OCD about this.
Right? It's like mental health should be talked about and normalized, but we almost crossed into this weird threshold where now it's
like emo culture grew out of being like weird and corny into like something else.
You're right. It's like trending.
Yeah. Like You're the Worst and Fleabag, which are shows I love, are still capitalizing on something.
Yeah.
And
Fleabag is just flawless in my opinion.
Oh, I love Fleabag so much. I almost feel bad. But I don't think she made that show or the play because of any of that. I think that was her truth.
Yeah, exactly. It was based on something that she was going through.
Right.
Like she describes it as like a very satirical mindset in her 20s. Like a cynicism in her 20s that like that's where her humor ended up or whatever.
Exactly. But I think now there are a lot of like copycats, and I think the reason I started moving into thinking bigger and animation stuff was, okay, so how do I make this not a meme?
Yeah.
Because it was feeling like a meme. And I don't think I would have had that push if it weren't for Instagram.
Yeah.
Or if it weren't for just like having a place to make work public. And I think when you put things out into the world and just get in the habit of it, you become okay with putting out the bad stuff, which you have to do to put out the good stuff.
Yeah. That's like deep.
Right? I guess people go to film school. That's the thing people do. Or art school.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about art school.
So did you, the first time you pursued any kind of acting or improv or whatever, that was in LA?
Yeah, I did a little theater in college. My parents were very anti-theater. They were like, don't ever take an acting class.
They didn't want you to try and become an actor?
Yeah, which now looking back, looking at my finances, I get it. God, I do get it. I can just see the panic on their faces being like, is this really what you chose? Jesus.
So what drew you to improv and like UCB and all that, like performing on stage? Other than you, I knew you had like a sense that you wanted to be in entertainment to begin with, but like out of Teach for America, how did you land on that route?
Well, I've always loved performing. And I think I've like in high school, I loved performing. My school didn't have a theater department. That's so
interesting
I did,
for Georgetown.
Oh, my high school.
Oh, high school, sorry.
Yeah, so I did speech and debate, and then I got to Georgetown, and I wanted to do theater, but I had not done theater, so I auditioned for some plays, didn't get in.
Yeah.
Got into two, but like not enough to feel like, you know, the theater kids were theater kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the improv club even was the improv kids. It all, I didn't have the confidence, I think, to be a part of it. But I started listening to Comedy Bang Bang and Improv for Humans and some other podcasts in college. And so when I got out to LA and knew UCB was a thing, I was like, I don't really have the confidence to take acting classes, but improv could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I took one class, and my teacher was a woman, Fran Gillespie, and she said, maybe in our fifth class, like, guys, you should have Anna do characters. She's really good at characters. And for some reason, that comment, like, gave me the motivation I needed to stick with performing for another 7 years.
Wow.
But she was really supportive. She, like, I feel like she wanted the few women in the class to feel mm-hmm. like they could succeed. Cut to now, she's a writer on SNL.
Wow.
But I think you always just need that one person yeah. to be like, this isn't a total mistake. Maybe was, keep going.
It was probably yeah. like almost a throwaway comment for her. And that it stayed with you for years.
And I have seen her since then. I saw her at a bar recently because she also recommended me for a writing job. But I don't even think she really remembered who I was. But I saw her at a bar and I was like, I just want to say thank you. Like, what you said to me was so nice. And I think she had her guard up because she was with like Paul Rust. Uh-huh. And someone else, and I think they were like, oh God, a fan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I was like, oh, you were so encouraging, and then just walked away. So I let her know that she inspired me, but maybe she'll never know. Maybe she'll yeah. never really know. But yeah, so I had a good first class, and then loved the shows that I saw and yeah. stuck with it, and for a long time felt like I would never make it on a house team, and I was never going to make it in comedy. But I think the secret in LA is if you stick with things long enough, you move forward.
That's my plan. Just got to stay here for a little while longer.
Yeah, you just move forward. Yeah. And for a long time, I always told myself, well, teaching is the backup.
Mm-hmm.
If this doesn't work out, you can always teach. And I am finally at a point where I see I'm never going to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. That's not a real backup anymore. Yeah. I've lost that. Like, no, I've spent this long going this deep into this.
Yeah.
I've had a writing job. Like, I'm not going to teach kindergarten again.
Mm-hmm. I always say, Anna, if you can't do this, you'll just go to med school.
Yeah.
And become a doctor. Except,
but it's like sometimes you have to tell yourself that because it's like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
No way.
What was your writing job?
I wrote on a Paramount Network sketch show.
Oh.
It was cool experience. It went for a little while and then the exec who bought the show got fired. So they killed the show.
That always happens. Mm. Executives, yeah. I feel like if you work at a studio, you're just waiting to be fired.
Right?
There's such aggressive turnaround in studio yeah. executives. It's like a job you don't really actually want.
It sucked. And he was good friends with our executive producer. And they were like, oh, yeah, we're so excited for the show. And then he got fired. And a little taste of Hollywood.
That sucks. That happens to almost 90% of shows in
yeah.
LA.
But it was fine. It was a fun experience. It was cool to get paid to write sketch comedy and
that
feel
like.
That is
awesome. Because that's just a stepping stone to like another gig, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's always good to have just, I don't know. It's just, LA is just like one giant networking opportunity. You just have to meet the right person. And then
yeah.
all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, I didn't even like you, but all the doors are open. Mm-hmm. it's really
so
surreal.
True. The guy yeah. who recommended me is a sketch teacher at UCB. Who I never had.
Whoa.
But I volunteered to act mm-hmm. in his Sketch 301 class.
Nice.
where they just needed volunteers to like act in the student sketches. And they were looking for young, like Latinx writers, female. And he was like, let me check the roster of female Latina sketch writers at UCB. Oh, it's like two people? Great. Yeah, it's crazy. It's also like a lot of the opportunities I've had have come out of like a need for Latina writers or like this is going to be a Latinx show. I was showrunner's assistant on Vida, which is like about
that one show with the two girls,
two sisters in East LA. Yeah,
my friend's husband or boyfriend made that.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote it.
That guy, what's his name?
He wrote it, but then got like kicked out. Yeah,
that was the whole thing.
Yeah, that's
and I didn't fully understand the situation because they don't talk about it.
It's shady.
It, but it's like
Vida.
People are paid to not talk about it.
Vida.
I always saw the trailer or the trailers ads for that show, and I was always like, too intense.
It's intense.
Yeah,
I don't like intense dramedies. Not dramedies, dramas.
They bill it as
with
a dramedy.
Female leads. No, I'm no, I'm just joking. I just didn't. I don't know.
Yeah, my main critique was this with the show was that it needed male leads.
Yeah, you know, that's how it goes.
Females can't be main characters.
Well, they're like, I'm so dramatic. It's like, we know you're on your period.
Exactly. I'm on my period right now, and all I've been doing is knocking over cups
and being like, Mom.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding. Vida did look intense, and I was going to watch it, but it just kind of hit at a point where there's too many shows on my slate that I had to watch.
It's
I might
cool.
still watch it. Is it, what is network is it on?
It's on Stars.
Stars. Why do you think it was on CW? No.
In ways, it feels CW. God, I had no
one. Probably because there's two young girls. I was like, CW.
And they're beautiful, which is very CW.
That's another reason I didn't want to watch it. I was like, I'm jealous.
Me too.
I'm just joking. I will watch it in probably 4 years when I binge it and then tell everyone, have you guys seen Vida? And everyone's like, wow, you are trash. Yeah. It's been out forever.
It's like me watching The Sopranos for the first time last year, being like, have you seen The Sopranos?
Everyone's like, you're an idiot.
Speaking of The Sopranos, or just you being
are
a character.
Are you going to kill us?
Well, you're good at characters. And we both did Edgar's Sacred Hill episode 2.
Yes, we did.
You're so good at voices. You did like
Thank
a mob
you.
Boss voice that
you are very, good at characters.
Very Tony Soprano.
Let SNL know.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Would you want to do that, SNL?
I think, well, I was doing characters a little harder last year. And I was really pushing that and workshopping characters, and I got a little disheartened. I did like JFL and got to the callback, and I was like, oh, I've workshopped these characters so hard. I feel so good about it. I'm just going to be perfect. And it didn't go well. Oh. You know, I think.
What do you mean by it didn't go well? Like it just.
I didn't crush.
Oh.
And I didn't make JFL but just for laughs.
Did they have the like Lorne Michaels style of like,
Oh, it felt like that. So, God, I felt like I got so stone faced.
Yeah.
But also, it was sort of, I don't even know what this means, but I write on a mod team at UCB and have just been feeling a little, when it comes to sketch comedy, like tired of going up against those really big, goofy people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have felt in character stuff some of the problematic stuff, which is like they're kind of looking to fill certain quotas. Like we can only have this many Latinas, this many black female actors.
But the rest are white men.
Exactly. And however many of that. And I don't know. I've just sort of been in writer mode a little bit. So I think right now I would rather
be a writer.
Be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's more power in writing, and I always will love performing. And I have a sketch duo with fellow half Peruvian. Well, I'm not Peruvian, but whatever. Half Latina, Heather Higginbotham. And I think I'd rather focus my character work on that I mean, part of this is because, and I've literally referenced this interview one other time today with Daily Zeitgeist, but
yeah.
I was listening to an interview with John Milheisner, who was on SNL, and he just sort of talked about how he spent all this time working on his sketch characters and this very specific thing of sketch character work, which you kind of can only do on SNL, and then he got there and he got cut.
Oh.
I don't know. There's something very specific about character work.
Yeah.
Like, they're sets. It's like stand-up sets.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been feeling more in the zone of creating content.
Writing is I feel like it's where it's at. But, I mean, it also is kind of like something you do for me by myself a lot. So it's just, that can get also hard. But
Writing sucks, man.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Writing,
it sucks.
Hate writing, but love to have written.
Yes. Yeah.
Ooh, that's good.
It's so true.
Where can the fam find you?
You can find me at Bad Comics by Anna on Instagram and on Twitter.
And again, that is comics with an S, and then
comics with an X.
Did I say X or S?
I said S.
I meant X. So I thought X in my head, and I said S. Comics with an X, Bad Comics, and then Anna with A and N A.
Yeah. And that sketch duo you can check out. It's John Baxter. Guys, don't ever name your sketch duo a man name. It will be impossible to Google. Because if you Google John Baxter, you'll find 18 pages of men called John Baxter. One of them does comedy.
Oh,
yes, God. They're all middle-aged.
Why don't you rename it?
It feels too late. Oh. We've been John Baxter for like 5 years.
Why don't you just go like JB or J-Bax?
Yes. We've toyed with things. Uh-huh. Like our Vimeo is Pickle Films because we did a show for 4 years called The Pickle Hour. And Anna, and sometimes we just go with Anna and Heather, but we are John Baxter Comedy on Instagram and on Twitter, John Baxter Jokes.
Why did you guys name it John Baxter?
We thought it was funny that we were two Latina women, but our name was a white man's name.
Uh-huh.
It was funny at the time.
And it's funny now, but also it's problematic for you guys.
Such a headache.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
This has been a blast.
Should we...
You've promoted everything you would like to promote? Anything else? Your Twitter?
I've done my Twitter. I perform at UCB, but I guess depending on when this comes out, it will depend.
Yeah.
Just follow her to get more info on when her shows are.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll have some news about the Bad Comics animated stuff in the future.
I was just looking at your most recent one, and it feels like you're doing great at animating.
We'll see. I've got some coals in the fire.
That is an interesting reference. I'm just joking. Follow us at ethnicallyamp on Twitter, ethnicallyambig on Instagram. We have a website called ethnicallyambiguouspod.com,
and we're on Facebook.
Yeah, but who cares about fucking Facebook? They're so shady. You can follow me on Twitter, @IannaHosnier, but whatever. Who cares about anything?
and you can follow me on Twitter at @ShiroHero666, @SHEERO HERO, and then just ShiroHero on Instagram. And thanks again for coming on, Anna.
Thank you, guys.
You're so talented. And I encourage everyone to follow her. So go do it.
Yeah.
Bye.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.